Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Well, I mean, there's been so much talk about how can we get DK more involved, how can we push the ball down the field more, and I said last week you got to run the football, and I think today we ran the ball pretty effectively. That Kenny G, I mean, Kenny Gainwell, obviously if you're a football fan, you know who he is, and you followed his career, and it seemed like every time he went in the game, for me as a football fan with Philly, it was like, man, this guy's really good, he should get more touches. So when I came here, I knew what kind of player he was. I tell him all the time, he's an absolute baller. So any opportunity he gets, man, Kenny's been great all year and make himself a lot of money.
And Kenny gets the number one game ball from your friend City Limits for his performance against the Minnesota Vikings. Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Fan Evening Show. Just an hour today as we will walk you up to the NFL on Westwood One. Monday Night Football. Cincinnati is in Denver. Can the Broncos continue to bury the Bengals, who are at 2-1, but no Joe Burrow? Makes it feel like a team that is right around 2-10. Charlie Borges producing behind the glass. Charlie, always good to be with you.
Hello.
What a tough weekend for you, Charlie. What a tough weekend for me, Charlie.
You really want to? You really?
No,
want to
I
start.
Don't want to start with that. I really don't.
You want to make me feel even worse than I already do?
I feel bad for a plethora of reasons. Some that I admitted during Pump and Joe, but one thing that I did feel so much better about was the Steelers' offense against Minnesota. What were we talking about leading up to this game all week? Oh, well, the Steelers should not have let Brian Flores walk out the door. The Steelers' offense against the Minnesota defense is the most critical avenue of this game. That is the matchup to keep an eye on. Minnesota's defense, they have Rodgers, 2 touchdowns defensively. Against Cincinnati, they dominated the Bengals. They pulled up 40-plus total points as a team. They made Jake Browning look like a high school JV quarterback, where Jake Browning is just actually a backup quarterback, but he made him look like not even close to an NFL player. With a solid defense, a good scheme, and the Steelers ran for 131 yards, on the wonderful, blitzing, aggressive Brian Flores defense. And Kenneth Gainwell was the star. Leading receiver with 6 catches for 35 yards. Metcalf was the leading receiver in terms of yards, but Gainwell had the most catches. Gainwell, 99 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns, averaged 5.2 yards per carry. The Steelers as a team averaged 4.5 yards per carry. They actually ran the tush push. And it worked. And Aaron Rodgers was flaunting the play afterwards, signaling first down for something that we hadn't seen the Steelers run effectively really ever, short yarded situations. Of course, you're not going to do it with your 41-year-old quarterback, but I'm glad to see that they actually did execute it with Darnell Washington pushing, with Aaron Rodgers just kind of hanging back and letting everyone else do the dirty work. Arthur Smith's offense ran circles around Brian Flores' defense. I didn't expect that. I'm sure you didn't expect that. I picked the Steelers to win this game by a touchdown. I didn't ultimately feel that confident about it. But the more and more people that kept picking the Vikings, and I went back and forth on the game, I did wonder, like, how much did the speech that Art Rooney gave to the team on Monday before the game, how important this game is to the Rooneys, playing in Ireland, it was like a 65-70% Steeler crowd. How important was that? They came out prepared. They came out aggressive, unlike the team in Happy Valley. And they played overall a well-balanced game. Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 22, 200 yards and a touchdown. A 119.7 rating. Aaron Rodgers played well. And big plays, important. DK Metcalf, more involved. 5 targets, 5 catches. Gainwell, 6 targets, 6 catches. Darnell Washington, 3 targets, 3 catches. They made it look simple. They made it look not easy. They only put up 313 total yards. It wasn't a 400-yard performance. But I was encouraged by the offense. Going up against a real defense. A real defensive scheme. Somebody that knows you fairly well in Brian Flores that was in your own building. Knows the Steelers just as a whole and how they operate. So I'm not... Look, did the fourth quarter look ugly? Yes. Is it concerning? Yes. But I do think that there are more positives that I take away from this game. Now, the injuries are concerning. I didn't like Jalen Ramsey faking an injury as he goes into the end zone on that fumble return for a touchdown that ended up getting called back and then doing a dance off of it. And I know that that's like a trend that people do. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey ended up getting hurt, and Jerry Dulac said he's going to miss several weeks. That hurts. Calvin Austin, injured. He said on Twitter, basically reassuring people he's going to be okay. Dulac said, with this injury, going to miss several weeks. Bye week came at a good time. Jaylen Warren did not play. Joey Porter Jr. did not play. Other guys got banged up during the game. Busted coverage on the Jordan Addison touchdown that Peyton Wilson did a hell of a job of getting down the field to be able to make a tackle on. That burned off close to another minute on the clock that the Vikings did not have when the Steelers ultimately punted the ball back. When the Steelers, in all reality, should have just been aggressive. But no, we're living in our fears again. Not going for it on fourth and short. Let's punt the football away. Where metrics, whatever, manalytics, whatever you want to call it, whether it's analytics or just football smarts, watching the game on the eye test and the Steelers running the ball at will, should have just went for it there. Look, I'm nitpicking some smaller things. I overall think that this performance encourages me that the offense can be better than we expect. And a part of that is also the fact that the offensive line was better. They actually ran the ball. Aaron Rodgers was kept relatively clean in the pocket. Moved around when he needed to. Steelers only faced 10 third downs. Vikings were 4 of 14. Steelers were 4 of 10. Like, I'll take 40% on fourth down. Would like it to be a little bit higher. 40%. Not bad. Relatively clean for the Steelers in terms of penalties. 5 penalties for 35 yards. Other than Rodgers' fumble that bounced back into the hands of Broderick Jones, they kept the ball safe. They were prepared. Arthur Smith had a good game plan. And we've been very back and forth on Arthur Smith. Like, we have crushed Arthur Smith a ton for his decisions and a lot of the decision-making that he's done on routes. And I still don't like their lack of utilization with the tight ends. But I overall came away from this game feeling positive with the Steelers at 3-1. Feeling good about their offense. Feeling conflicted about the defense because they played well in the first half. They forced turnovers. They sacked Carson Wentz 6 times. The story of this game is the offense. The story of this game is Arthur Smith putting them in a good position to succeed. Do you feel better at 412-928-9370. One texter says, hey guys, if you think the Minnesota defense was that bad, why did Tomlin not go for it when he had 18 inches to go for a first down instead of giving Minnesota the ball back with a chance to tie it or win the game? I fully agree with that. Like, they were moving the ball at will on Minnesota for a large portion of that game. Now, the Vikings defense tightened up a little bit into the second half. The offense started to stall. Steelers defense gave up big plays, playing some prevent. And ultimately, just ended up being an okay performance from the defense in the end. But they seemingly find a way to make plays when they need to. And Deshaun Elliott clearly is a big reason why. When he's back there in the secondary, things work a little bit better. So I want to know your thoughts at 412-928-9370. I'm coming away from this game with some positives, feeling better about the Steelers. Are there things that you can hammer home on and critique, and the questionable fumble out of bounds that Minnesota had where the fumbler touched the football with a foot out of bounds and they ruled it dead? Kind of a odd ruling, kind of an odd way to be able to say, okay, that is not truly a fumble recovery for the defense and the offense just gets to luckily keep the ball. Kind of reminds me of the touchback through the end zone rule to an extent. But I feel solid. I feel a little bit better. Now, I'm not saying they're going to the AFC Championship game or anything like that, but against a good defense and a good scheme, the Steelers offense that at times looks lifeless with route concepts, play design, looked more in tune with the modern NFL. They could run the football. They set up play action. DK Metcalf, a big play wide receiver. They utilized the middle of the field. Sure, I would have liked to have seen a little more points. Who wouldn't want to see them score 30-plus every single game? But ultimately, 24 on the board against that defense? I'll take it. Here's our guy, Seth, in Long Island. What's going on, Seth? Good to hear from you again.
Hey, City Limits. How you doing, sir?
Seth, it's been a while. Where you been?
Yeah, it's been very busy. But you're always doing a great job. You, Joe, Pomp, Donnie Football, you guys are great, man. I love you guys. So hope you get your own show one of these days, Austin.
Appreciate it, man. So, what's going on?
All right. Same old man. Just, yeah, it's a great win. My only, you know, it was very interesting to see Tomlin get talked out of, you know, the decision-making process by Rodgers and the offensive line. And my only real problem with it was, what a terrible play call. I know they were running well the whole time, Austin, but I would have liked to see them do, like, fake it, you know, where they ran to the left, fake it there, have a guy roll out to the right and just throw the ball for an easy touchdown, put the game away. Every other team I watch every Sunday has a play that it's like, holy cow, where'd that come from?
Right.
So, you know, so bottom line, man, I know Tomlin's getting banged up by a lot of guys, but it was interesting to see, and the victory is a victory, but, you know, I'm just tired of seeing these close ones, man. That game should have been over with 5 minutes left to go. No ifs, ands, or buts, man. So that's my only take on it, and I'm hoping that we notch a W in Cleveland and then in Cincinnati. Just make it happen. 5-1 would be a great way to really kick this thing off, man.
Yeah, Seth, and I think there's a real chance that can happen, and I appreciate the call. The defensive breakdown where multiple defenders in zone coverage just were standing in the same exact spot, and Deshaun Elliott puts his hands up, and there's questions about the defense, and for Peyton Wilson to be able to make that play, keep the clock rolling for another minute was, I mean, he deserves a game ball just for that alone, let alone the double-digit tackles that he had. It was that strong of a performance from a player who we have been very hard on for good reason. I mean, it's the guy that said he is one of the best coverage linebackers in all of football. Well, maybe he wasn't the one that was covering Jordan Addison on the play, but he made a big enough play. Not just, you know, it's not like he was angling off with Jordan Addison either. He just beat him in a sprint. Like, I don't know if Jordan Addison thought he was just going to walk into the end zone, so he, you know, took a little bit off the gas, but Peyton Wilson did a great job of being able to track him down. I digress, though. Back to the defense as a whole, you can't have those types of defensive lapses in general on those two drives against Carson Wentz. Sure, they made big plays. James Pierre almost had a pick on that last drive that would have ended the drive even earlier. But the highest paid defense that played like the highest paid defense for a while has to be buttoned up in the fourth quarter. Okay, that's the money quarter. That's when it matters most. Here is Mookie in the car. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, real quick about the defense. Yeah, you definitely want to be buttoned up, but you got to figure they had a lot of injuries back there. There are some guys. They caught that one guy. He just got on the field. He was sleeping. So, you know, overall, like you said, it was a good performance. You were talking earlier about the tight ends and all this talk about the tight ends. You don't really need to show everything you got every game. I think they're able to dictate more or run their offense based on what the defense is showing. You got a quarterback who has seen everything, so that makes it easier. But the bottom line, the reason why they were successful, they did something yesterday. Man, I can't remember the last time I could say this, but they actually controlled both lines of scrimmage. And when you can do that, then that's when you're able to do all the stuff that you would like to do.
Yeah, and
so when I hear that the OC is horrible and he can't call plays, well, hey, if you can't get things blocked up, no matter what he calls, it's not going to work.
And this is the first time, Mookie, that they've done that, that they've been able to say that they can control the line of scrimmage this year. And I think about this. I mean, they're paying Pat Freiermuth upwards of $12 million, and they're paying Jonnu Smith $5 million, but next year it goes to $11 million. Like, don't you want to get those guys a little bit more involved?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You know, don't you want them to be a little bit more involved? So I liked what I saw from the offense. I liked what I saw altogether from the team. What do you think? 412-928-9370. We'll continue to take your calls up next. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A lot of texts that are rolling in as well. Hit us up on the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Up next, let's talk to JR from TalkinVegas.com to preview some of these Monday night football games. Austin Bechtold with you right here on the Fan. Be a part of that. All right, 412-928-9370 if you would like to join in on the conversation and chime in all together on the Steelers. But I also want to turn the attention right now to what happened at PNC Park. Donnie Kelly announced earlier today that he will be back as Pirates manager. I am okay with that. I don't like the timing. The day after the season ends and you go 71-91, 20 under 500, you lose 5 more games than you did last year. You only won 76 games the last 2 years. You win 71 this year. You bring back Donnie Kelly, who had some good moments and I think has a good feel for the game. But you keep the general manager. Ben Cherington saying that he's been told, he's been assured, he will be back this year, next year, for 2026. Travis Williams, when asked why Ben Cherington is going to come back, said this puzzling statement.
We felt at the end of the day that making a change as a general manager would set us back. That's not what our fans expect. That's not what we expect. We're looking in 2026 to make the playoffs, period, full stop. And so we did not want to veer from that. And we're pushing it all in and making sure that we are able to make the playoffs in 2026.
Would set you back? Oh, really, Travis? Moving on from your general manager that put together a roster that went 71-91, that had the third best ERA in the second half of any club, who has the Cy Young Award winner on the team, yet finishes 10-10 because they can't put an offensive product out there on the field, and their bullpen is not good enough, mainly because you traded your closer, and you've been shuffling the deck with the bullpen trying to find additional pieces. When Aroldis Chapman was a main part of it last year, didn't opt to re-sign him. You think that it would be too big of a shuffle, too big of a step back? This guy took you on a step back this year. You won 71 games. Step back. This is year 6. We're going into year 7 with Ben Cherington's Pirates, 365-505 in 6 seasons. They haven't won more than 76 games in a campaign, and it happened in the previous 2 years before this one, where they took another step back. They were trying to lose in 2021 and 22. Ever since, it's been an absolute disappointment, and there's no good reason why this guy should be back. There's not. There's no logical belief in my mind as to why this should be the occasion. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm happy for Don Kelly, local guy. We love those stories. And it's not just that. He's a good baseball guy. He manages with his gut. He has good instincts. He is able to work with less, which they don't really give him much to work with to begin with. And his record at home was what, like 8, 9, 10 games over 500? It was solid. It was consistent. I was gleaning from Noah Heil's article earlier today that came out, really good job by Noah, that there was no sense of belief in Derek Shelton. One player anonymously told Noah he should have been gone after last season. Yeah, he should have, and they should have taken this guy with him. Look, I used to be a big Ben Cherington supporter, and I'm glad that he picked Connor Griffin. He made a good choice there. He made the best choice, where it really was a coin flip between Skeens and Dylan Cruz, where now Dylan Cruz is hitting around 220, 215, and Paul Skeens is winning awards and looking like the best pitcher of all time. He deserves a little bit of a pat on the back for that. But what he doesn't deserve is any credit or any sense of belief that by their words and not their actions, this thing is just going to ultimately turn around. What confidence have they instilled in us, the fan base, us, the city of Pittsburgh, us, the observers of Pirates baseball, that truly makes you believe anything is going to be different unless they significantly add payroll and make big moves? And Travis Williams even said, they're not focused on the payroll. They love their pitching depth, and they know they need to go out and add, whether it be free agency and trades. You know what that means. They're going to trade Mitch Keller for a bat. Are they going to sign one? Are they going to sign two? Is it going to be Tommy Pham brought back with a shiny ribbon? Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's somebody different, but the same mold. 35, 36, 37, looking to kind of hold on, find the fountain of youth. Or a third baseman that doesn't really hit well, go sign Eugenio Suarez. Give him $20, $25 million. None of us believe that'll actually happen, and that's the problem. 412-928-9370. Had to ultimately get that one off my chest. Also found this fascinating.
Thank you for showing up today. We love you.
Got the dub and
we wish we could come back next year.
Aaron Rodgers saying, next year, the thought of Ireland.
Thank you for showing up today. We love you.
Got the dub and
we wish we could come back next year.
Rodgers threw for 200 yards, a touchdown. Was sacked twice. 120 rating. Played pretty well. If you are somebody who was not an Aaron Rodgers believer before this, I don't know what to tell you. Kabali said something about the effect of he should be in the MVP conversation. I'm not willing to go that far. But I do think that Aaron Rodgers has stabilized an offense and stabilized an organization better than many people could have possibly thought. Do you agree? At 412-928-9370. Not stabilizing it for years to come, but for the time being. All right. We have a Charlie headline, and we'll come back with some college football top. A lot to still cover, and we'll get into your thoughts as well as we walk you up to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football on the Fan. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Beautiful sunset throughout Pittsburgh right now as I'm looking out the window of our Green Tree Studios. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Right now it's 74 degrees, going to go down to a low of 58. Jack Lambert. 80 degrees the high tomorrow and cloudy skies. All right, good. The Steelers won. The Steelers offense looked solid. The Steelers looked very, very good for about three quarters. Just like how Penn State looked bad offensively for three quarters and then good offensively in the fourth quarter and then bad again in the second overtime. Look, if you know me, you know that I am a huge Drew Aller guy, or at least I was, thinking that he should be the next franchise quarterback for the Steelers. And overall, in the Penn State topic, I wrote this for Nittany Sports Now, and I think it really applies and is really something that, you know, sits with me a lot. Because I sat in a stunned Beaver Stadium, second largest crowd in Penn State history. The only thing that came to mind was that Brian Kelly clip. We're sitting here again. We're sitting here again as he slams the table, talking about the same things.
You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled.
Maybe so. But after a 30-24 overtime loss, a collapse to Oregon in the whiteout, the same concept applies for Penn State. We're sitting here again for another season talking about the exact same things. Will James Franklin win a big game against a top five or a top 10 opponent? 12 years now, he's 4-21 against top 10 teams. That is baffling, and it's just flat out unacceptable. Against top six competition in the AP poll, Franklin's teams are 2-21. They've lost 15 games in a row. Big game, James. He hasn't shown up and really given you much of anything to believe that Penn State can get over this hump. It really feels like the program has plateaued against the best competition. Look, wins against SMU and Boise State in the playoff are fine. They're nice wins. The rubber met the road against Notre Dame, another heartbreaker. And that's what Saturday night felt like. As much of the stadium was still full minutes after the game ended. Seniors in the student section soaking in the fact that their last whiteout was a stunning loss. And Penn State has no one to blame but itself. Mistakes and bad decisions on offense. Andy Kotelnicki's offense had 109 total yards of offense. 109 through three quarters. They went three and out three times through those three quarters. Drew Aller shriveled in the big moment. He threw a game-ending interception just like he did in the Notre Dame game. Aller's now 0-6 against AP top six opponents. Two losses to Oregon and Ohio State. He goes 14-25, 137 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. And look, great atmosphere, great moments. Oregon goes 5-7 on fourth down, and they convert 6-18 on third down. I don't get it. Penn State, I don't think, is ever going to win the big game. Look, about Drew Aller, I was wrong. I'm leaving a 5% chance open that he can get it done. It hasn't worked. Thanks to Charlie. Thanks to you for listening. Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football is next.
The cat sat on the mat.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.